Ladies and gentlemen, Cairo Radio is honored and privileged to present to you Cairo Nights with Mr. Talk Radio, Jack Stein.
All right, welcome to Cairo Nights. Joining us yet again for Legislation Season 2022, the return of the Legislation Deathmatch, Hannah Scott. Hannah, there's been a lot of stuff going on that is a lot of bad ideas. I got to be honest with you. This entire week, every time you and I talk, I feel like I'm witnessing people with just awful ideas. One of these awful ideas was the idea of a state income tax, who actually he came out and according to Nick Bowman, he said, I have no illusions this bill will pass.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are the details on this, Anna Scott?
So this is making it legal, which is, of course, it currently graduated income tax is not legal in Washington state. This would make it legal for local jurisdictions to enact these taxes if they meet some conditions. One of those conditions is they have to first reduce existing taxes. So that would be like your property tax, B&O tax, public utility taxes, and sales taxes. Any of those, they have to reduce those by at least 75%. So a trade-off, if you will, away from those regressive taxes to this graduated income tax. And then they could do that if they had met that condition first. It doesn't require a public vote. You know, the voters don't have to sign off on it. And then, you know, also, should this bill pass, it would require a constitutional amendment as well. get passed.
Yeah, and I wonder why even try to do it when it's so wildly unpopular. Like, people already don't like paying taxes. You've got a 6.5% retail sales tax. You've got, and this is on top of everything else. I mean, if you think about it, Hannah Scott, I'm not asking you to drag, you know, get into opinion about this, but we as Americans are taxed to death. And I don't think most people realize, because they look at somewhere like Norway and they say, well, look at all the free stuff that they have, and they're taxed at 45%. Do people know that you pay like $45 to get a haircut in Norway? Do people know this? How expensive everything is? Like, right. it's not like people in Norway are like, oh, let's go to Supercuts and get a $10 haircut. These people are paying outrageous fees for everything. In all the countries that people point to with effective tax rates of 45, 50, 60%, in America, costs about $500 to get your license on average. In some of these these countries with huge tax burdens on the people, it's like $3,500, $4,000 to get a license because they don't want people to drive, right? So I think that when you say income tax, I think every rational human being goes, ugh, right? So it just seems like it's just, why even propose it in the first place if you know it's not going to happen is a question.
Well, I'll tell you the reason that they propose it in the first place is because there is a collective ongoing effort to get the courts to undo the 1930s era. I forget which year it was.
1931.
Yeah, to undo that, right? So that's been the push since I moved, you know, probably long before I even moved to this state.
Right.
Which is, you know, 12 years ago or so. But then recently in 2019, there was a separate case in which the state Supreme Court let stand a legal allowance for an income tax, 1% flat income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was a surprise that was done at the appeals court level, but and it was a Seattle, it was one of the Seattle taxes that was allowed to be that way. And the state Supreme Court refused to take the case on appeal, which shocked everyone because it left that kind of nugget just laying there, which allows for that 1% income tax. So the graduated part is what you still can't get past. So, and the graduated part is important because that's how you tax the rich, right? So that's the big thing where you want to go after the most wealthy and all of that. But the idea here, and I think Bob Hashigawa, who is the sponsor of this bill, said that even in the hearing, he's like, there's going to be a lot of people who say this is unconstitutional. So be it. Fine. Let's get this legal battle going. Take me to court.
I hope they do, and I hope he loses. And here's why. Hannah, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but everything I've ever achieved in my life has been
accidental? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. No,
everything that I've ever achieved in my life has been because of rich people. I know this is a shock and a surprise to many people out there, but everything good in my life that has ever happened to me has happened because of very wealthy people. I got into the radio business because there was a very wealthy man who was able to buy a radio station as his pet project and fund it at cost. Like, he could not, the thing lost money and he was still able to pay everybody. Everything in my life, Billy Sunshine, my friend and mentor, he's worth several million dollars many times over. He has helped me out tremendously in my life, both financially and personally. My buddy, Dr. Z, capitalist hero, has also been very beneficial to me in encouraging me and getting me places in my life in the ways that he can. Everything in my life, Hannah Scott, is because of rich guys. I don't understand why we do this thing where we say all of a sudden when you make X amount of dollars above a certain point, you are somehow different from everybody else. You are somehow a different type of citizen who needs to be taxed disproportionately to other citizens. It doesn't make any sense to me. This assault on wealthy people, this assault on people who make money, is odd. Like, when I was a kid, Hannah,
you think that the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes?
In most cases, yes, absolutely. When they're paying something like, what is it, like 80% of all federal income tax comes from like the top 10% of income earners in the United States. I mean, that's huge. Like, okay, when I was a kid, Hannah, my grandfather, who was also a very wealthy guy, when we would, he would take us to the Concours d'Elegance every year in Pebble Beach, and we'd look at all these really expensive cars, and I got to meet people like Jay Leno and Jerry Seinfeld. I'm 8 or 9 years old. I don't know who these people are, but I got to meet them. And my grandfather was a very cruel man, and he was a very malicious man, a very mercurial man. But for some reason that week, every time we saw like a really expensive car, or we saw like Jerry Seinfeld, or we saw, you know, whatever actor or whatever person, he would get down on one knee and he would become very grandfatherly. And he would say to me, he would say, "You know, little Jack, for as much as I hate and resent you and despise the fact that I have to raise my grandchildren and I wish that you were dead on a daily basis." This is what he would say to me, Anna Scott. I'm quoting the man directly. He would get down on his knee and he would say, "If you work really hard and you put effort into stuff, you can be like everybody else here. And one of these days, one of these cars could be yours." And I would go, "Really?" I would beam at him. And he would say, "Yeah, you work as hard as Jay Leno. You work as hard as anybody else here. You can do it. Because I know you have it in you." And I would go, "Wow, I'm going to own a Rolls Royce one of these days." Now what we do for... now what we do...
And, so ugly.
But this is the thing, Hannah, is that instilled in me a value set of hard work and determination and an ethic to achieve in order to have nice things in life. Now what we do is when there are rich people, specifically rich dudes, we go, "Hey, that guy right there, that's an evil man. He's cheating the system. That guy, right? You see that guy right there? He's cheating on his taxes. Jeff Bezos pays nothing in taxes, even though his company pays outrageous fees in sales tax in almost every single state. But he personally, Jeff Bezos, is an evil, evil man. Elon Musk, what an evil, evil man, providing literally millions of jobs across the earth. All these evil, all these evil rich guys.
I love this music.
All these evil corporate overlords out there, of which there are some.
And a lot of them are cheating on their taxes.
I totally agree.
They can afford the high price attorney who can find all the loopholes. Because do you know what the tax system is in our country? It is absolutely absurd for the layman to try. It's a joke. It's ridiculous.
I know. I hire a guy to do my taxes. I hire a guy every
year. I mean, I did my own, and I'm like,
it's
ridiculous.
I just pay the $100 to the guy that knows how to do it.
I'll do that now.
it's well worth it, and I have no stress in my life whatsoever. But Hannah, I agree that there are some people out there, some rich guys, that are evil individuals in the same way that there are some poor people who are evil individuals.
Yes.
I don't think the fact that some guy might fudge the data on his taxes is as bad as anybody else committing any other type of nonviolent crime, right?
Right.
I mean, this
is
like, I shrug my shoulders and I go, well, as long as he's not stabbing somebody to death, I'm fine if someone wants to, like, fudge the data on their taxes. So, not that I would ever do that. As a matter of fact, I do nothing but file my taxes totally correctly every single year. Thank you very much. Because I would
have
never
a
do
tax
that.
Story. I have. I don't know if you want to know. So I did my. I had one from several years, 2017 taxes. They owed me a bunch of money, and I knew that. And I just was busy, and I never got around to filing that. So I had to do it this last year because the deadline. You know, they only let you have 3 years.
Right.
They owe you money, and then if you don't get it in time, they just keep your money. And I was like, no, because I've let that happen multiple times. So I was like, no, I'm getting my money. So I did it, and it's been over a year. And because they put that my date was the wrong date. They have it as a 1 day past the date you're allowed to have it in. And so they're not going to give me my thousands of dollars. And I go, no, I sent my stuff certified mail because I'm smart and I have the receipt. I can show you that I sent it on the right day.
Right.
And so I go and I'm round. And, you know, they gave everybody extension last year to May 17th, which also applied to those who were filing like a 2017 return in order to get that money and not be at that cutoff date. So I knew that. Because I was smart and I, you know, Googled it and went to the IRS site before I sent it off. But I've been on the phone. I'm not joking. 3 times. It's hard to get through to the IRS.
Yes.
And 3 times I've waited the hour and a half to on hold. And I've, you know, strategically called at the right time, 1 minute before they close to get in the queue at the right spot. And every single time the person on the other line says, no, that doesn't apply to the prior years. The extension. It doesn't. And they're like yelling at me and a ma'am, I don't make the rules. And I'm like, I go, look, so finally I get the guy. This just happened a couple weeks ago. I go, stop. Listen to me. I said, I achieved the knowledge that I have about this from an IRS press release because I'm a reporter. I said, I guess they don't share those press releases with you all, but I would be happy to if you'd like me to send it. And he said, I'm not allowed to give you my email address.
Oh.
So I told him how I Googled it to get there, and he found it.
Oh, so this is a good story then.
Well, we're still in the process. Now, at least I have the right address to mail off my proof of certified mail that I sent. All of that, hours of my life. But my point being is, like, how in the world can they not know that?
My experiences with the IRS have been nothing but pleasant, Hannah Scott. I have no idea. I have no idea.
It like shocked my system. I'm like, wait, what? Anyway, on this bill,
yeah.
I think this is the further efforts to continue to get this in front of a judge, which ultimately I think it will get. You know, income taxes are bad, sure, but there is enormous. I don't know if you drink, Jack, but if you buy alcohol in this state, it's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot compared to any other place in the world because of that. You know, we do the regressive taxes, all the sales tax and the things, but not necessarily alcohol, but some of the taxes really hit disproportionately, you know, people of color, poor people, things like that. And that's why there's always this effort to change it the other way. And having lived in California, like you have, you know, we have the income tax.
Yes.
The state, that's, I don't know. It's I pay a lot for stuff here.
Yeah.
But I didn't care for the California income tax either. So
I think the California income tax at this point in time is 13%.
It's huge. Yeah.
It's gargantuan and it is absurd. So when people say, oh, well, only the wealthiest among us are being taxed to death. Look at the fine people in the state of California. I mean, if you make over $50,000 a year,
you're screwed.
They hate you so much. So, Hannah Scott, I got to ask as well, because we only got a couple minutes left. But what's the deal with this hazing bill? Because I feel like this is something I could get behind. What are the fine details on it?
Absolutely. This is a really wide-ranging bill, actually, and it expands, strengthens, our current law about hazing. And what it does is, you know, right now, hazing is illegal. Colleges and universities, if you've got like a fraternity, a student club, things like that, this would expand that to also include sports teams, athletics, you know, any kind of athletic that's going on at any of the higher education facilities. But also what it does, importantly, is requires training for all students and parents that are coming, that are new, who before they're accepted to the college. The colleges have to come up with a training program of their own that they make everyone look at. And then none of the student organizations, football teams, any of that, they wouldn't be able to have those students on their team or in their organization unless they've completed that training. It also has a duty to report, which I thought was very interesting.
Yes.
That is a separate training for staff and volunteers who have to go through that training, but then also they have to report if they see any kind of hazing going on. And this stems from, it was really, really a heartbreaking testimony. A kid named Sam, who was 19, it was 2019. He was at WSU. He was a freshman. He was pledging, very new, couple of months, and he died of acute alcohol poisoning after a gallon of rum or something to that effect that the fraternity had,
wow,
had drink. It was and it was just heartbreaking. And I mean, his dad was in tears testifying in the committee this week saying, I know that this isn't going to bring my son back, but hopefully it'll save anybody else, you know, from having to go through this. And it's a good bill. There was 160 some odd people who signed up on it, and all of them were in support.
I think this is very based, Hannah Scott. When I was in college, I unfortunately, through some kind of clerical error, ended up in the sophomore dorm apartments as opposed
Whoops.
To. So I was around kids who were 20, 21 years old, and they wanted to rush and they wanted to pledge and all this other stuff. And the hazing that they went through, I mean, you're talking people dumping ice on you at 3:30 in the morning, forced drinking, forced rituals that I can't even repeat on the air because they were so, and particularly, Hannah Scott, if I can say this, some of the young ladies that I was talking to at the time, I encouraged them to not pledge to their sororities based on the requirements that they were being asked to do. Stuff like, to put it lightly, like, well, you have to make out with this guy if we tell you to do
right?
it.
No, right? And that's not okay.
Right. So I was telling young women who were in their, like, 20, especially my roommate, my dorm mate Kay in particular, I said, don't do that. I was like, don't allow some 21, 22-year-old loser in the sorority to come to you and say, when Jason's here, you have to kiss Jay. You know, it's like, no, don't do that. You don't put up with that. That is a violation of your autonomy. Don't do it whatsoever. So this is very based. And speaking of being very based, Hannah Scott, thank you for joining us this week.
One last thing I want to add.
Yeah.
This bill also would require that hazing be made. Each college would prohibit hazing both on and off campus.
Yes.
That's the other new part, which is a really good extension, very strong.
I agree, Hannah Scott. This is very based. Coming up next, Dr. Z is going to be joining us on the line, celebrating the 2-year anniversary of the first time COVID-19 appeared in Washington State. We'll be right back right after this. To Cairo Knights, joining us, Dr. Williams and Auntie, MD, PhD, Silver Fox, and Robot Brain. Dr. Z, today just so happens to be, yesterday was the anniversary of the 2 years since the first case of COVID-19 was identified in Washington State. Hooray!
And is there going to be a parade?
A maskless parade where we all walk around in little coronavirus costumes, like we all walk around basically looking at golf balls with brooms hanging out of us. And so, we're going to have a parade. Just so everybody, just to refresh everybody's memory, there was a guy in Snohomish County who was in his 30s, and he went through SeaTac, and he had just come back from China's Wuhan region. He was hospitalized with pneumonia on January 19th, 2020, and he tested positive for COVID-19 on January 20th, which, as we all remember, was announced to the public the following day. Two years later, Dr. Z, where we are today is that this week is being referred to as the Great Sick Out, because a record 9 million Americans are out sick as COVID ratings. Excuse me, COVID, not ratings. My ratings are great. COVID's ratings are bad. COVID rates surge. So, Bill, the reason I wanted to have you on is because I have a gripe with the CDC as per usual. Now, just to clarify for everybody, I think vaccine mandates are bad. I don't like the idea of vaccine mandates. Dr. Z and I often like to say education, education, education is a very important thing. And the CDC changed their guidance for the amount of days that one shall quarantine once they test positive for COVID-19. They changed it from 10 days down to 5 days. And Dr. Z, as you and I talked about last week, there's health clinics that are letting healthcare workers come back who are COVID positive and who have symptoms. So I ask you this question, Dr. Z. Is 10 days an arbitrary number to clear a virus, or is that about accurate? Because my running theory is that the reason that you're having higher rates of people calling out sick is not just because it's unvaccinated people. It's not just because Omicron is a variant. I think people are calling out sick because they weren't following the standards that I might follow if I tested positive for COVID-19. Does that make sense?
Right.
They're not paying attention.
So generally, somebody is infectious with like a respiratory virus for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right? And so then you've got things like shingles that hang out forever, and hep C that will hang out forever, right? You know, there are certain viruses that you get and you just never get rid of.
Right.
They kind of stay dormant in your body. But a respiratory infection, you know, 2 weeks. And so I see the plan, you know, release everybody back together after 5 days and everybody gets it and we're done. No?
No. I don't think so, Dr. C. One of the myths that I often run up against is that somebody gets COVID-19 once and then they never get it again. Like, I hear this thing about natural immunity again and again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Which is true that people can have natural immunity. But when we talk about immunity, we don't mean it's from what I've read and just from what I've gone through. When they say natural immunity, they don't mean that you can't then get the virus again and be a conduit for the virus, correct? That's not the way that viruses work in the human body. It just means that you won't get sick, correct?
There's a new set of data that I saw this morning that came out about people that got the infection versus the Moderna vaccine, and the Moderna vaccine prior to infection is the most protective.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And there was other data that showed when you catch the virus, you don't necessarily get antibodies coming out on your respiratory lining, the lining of your airway. You will, however, get that. This has been documented that you get it if you have the vaccine. So not sure that it was designed that way. Mm-hmm. I think they just got lucky.
Yeah, and well, I guess my thought is, Dr. Z, is that often in the text line, people say, well, I have COVID-19 and I have natural immunity. And from what I have read as well, natural immunity might stick around from anywhere from 3 months to 9 months to a year, but it varies based on somebody's ethnic background and their overall genetic makeup and their overall health. So.
Yeah.
If, for example, one of the things that they've done in these longitudinal studies that I have read, specifically from the New England Journal of Medicine, is that they found that somebody who had COVID-19, who then put on 10 to 15 pounds, was at higher risk of a worse infection than somebody who had not put on any weight, which I found to be fascinating, the idea that a small fluctuation in weight could, in fact, make it so that the next time you do come across COVID-19, you can actually have a worse reaction to it than the first time that you get it.
Yeah, right. And so this has been the thing that I have heard routinely. People who are heavy, don't do well.
Right.
Do not do well. They are at greatest risk.
You know, Bill, this reminds me, this is kind of tangential, but the last time when you were on Wednesday, somebody texted in and they said, you guys need to stop scaring people. Like they said, why aren't you being honest? You guys need to stop scaring people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I just thought to myself, You have never not once been alarmist about COVID. I am the definition of skeptical when it comes to COVID-19. But there is this thing that's happening in the general conversation around COVID where even people who are just having a discussion about study A, study B, study C, even that people have lost the tolerance for when they're on a certain side of the ideological spectrum when it comes to COVID-19. So even the idea that you and I would just be talking about, well, I read this study or I read this study, and you with your big robot brain not being an alarmist whatsoever and just saying like, hey, you know what? I would get the vaccine. It's a good idea for a lot of people. Even that, for a lot of people, their tolerance for it is just, it's just evaporated. It's just gone. Why do you think that is? Why do you think kind of that psychological phenomenon is occurring more and more the deeper we get into this?
Well, it's things that aren't necessarily seen or aren't right in your face,
right.
Such as like a family member in the hospital. Jack, you know, it's natural human. It's the natural human condition to be in denial.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to be the one that gets hurt. You know, it's going to be somebody else, right? But if you're in Vegas, it's going to be me. It's going to be me, right? And, you know, we try our best to help people understand when somebody says something like that, like, why are you scaring people? What I think about is, what are you talking about? Because, you know, it really is the opposite. Like, we're trying to spread good information.
Good vibes.
You know, like, folks, let's not all, you know, throw science out the window.
Yeah.
It actually does help us. And, you know, it helps us understand the limitations and like what we can do to protect ourselves. And that's what you and I talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, like, what's the deal with the tennis guy? Are you kidding me?
He doesn't want to get it. He wants to be able to go to Australia and not get COVID-19, I guess.
All that, Jack. What is it called when a big, strong man doesn't want to get a shot in his arm? What do we refer to that? Scaredy cat?
Dr. Z, can you give everybody your details before we got to get out of here?
Yes, it's zinantimd.com, ZINNANTIMD.com. If you want to send us a question or comment, we can maybe talk about it on the air.
Still waiting for that check from Big Pharma, Dr. Z. Still waiting on it. So
same here, man.
We're going to have to deal with that during the break. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Up Two Minds coming up right after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Shane, did you happen to catch our fine governor speaking via Zoom room conference to the fine people at the federal government? Did you happen to see this?
No, I did not. I've been moving.
Yeah.
I did not get a chance to catch this one.
You didn't miss anything. But I will say this, Shane. It's something that I have a couple of thoughts about. Two of them, to be exact. Two thoughts. So I'm of two minds about Governor Jay Inslee speaking to the feds via Zoom room conference like a good boy. Because, well, I'll tell you what, Shane, we got that package from Heather Bosch, yeah? So let's roll that out and let's let the people hear it straight from the Inslee's mouth. Here's Heather Bosch covering Jay Inslee speaking to the federal government.
Governor Jay Inslee says his controversial vaccine mandate for state employees, healthcare workers, and educators has made a significant difference.
By making it a condition of employment, that has increased our vaccination rate from 50% to 96%.
Testifying at a U.S. House subcommittee hearing, Inslee credited vaccines, masks, and other requirements for keeping Washington State's COVID death rate at about half the national average. Heather Bosch, Cairo News Radio.
Wow. Thank you, Heather Bosch. So, Shane, the reason I'm of two minds about it basically goes like this. I am fine with Jay Inslee saying the phrase, no intervention is as important as vaccination. I'm okay with that. However, he needed to add an addition to that. And can you guess what I think that addition is, Shane?
Something along the lines, if you feel comfortable doing so, or if you feel that it's something that you would like to do.
Oh, Shane, yes, this is why you're my producer.
Yes.
If it is something that you and your doctor feel is medically appropriate and necessary, and this is why when I say that Jay Inslee is a fascist, I'm not kidding, and I am not using hyperbolic language. What I'm trying to say when I say that Jay Inslee is being a fascist is because when you have a one-size-fits-all blanket prescription for something, it goes against medical science. I know we just had Dr. Z on. I know how Dr. Z feels about it. He's a clinician. You know what I mean, Shane? He has to take everything with a case-by-case basis. And in Dr. Z's medical opinion, the vaccine is safe for everybody to take, right? That's Dr. Z's medical opinion. He is a physician. Inslee is not a physician. There are other physicians out there. There are other doctors out there who say, you know what? It's not necessary for everybody. And I would like it. I would like it if Inslee would at least recognize that there are people out there for whom the vaccine is not an appropriate quote-unquote intervention. That would be very based. But instead, it's this very performative, I got the vaccination rate from 50% all the way up to 96%. And I say, yeah, well, what about all the people who lost their jobs because they didn't want to get vaccinated? What about all the people who couldn't get the vaccine and had to jump through hoops to get some kind of exemption in order to keep their job with the state? I just want politicians to cover all their bases, Shane, and you could say that it's nitpicky and you could say that I'm asking too much, but specific wording, specific verbiage promotes specific thinking, and that is the job of a politician, to promote open thinking that includes things that might otherwise escape somebody's mind, so you don't end up like Howard Stern crying and whining about the fact that not everybody wants to get the vaccine. Does that make sense, Shane? Or am I being off base about this?
No, it does make sense. And, part of me kind of is happy with the fact that those are the numbers for us in King County and in Washington. I think that that's a great piece of news. But also the way that it, you know, came to be that way is, again, you know, questionable for some people. So, you know, for me and for my decision for getting vaccinated that I'm happy with, you know, and seeing other people get vaccinated, it makes me feel pretty good. But at the same time, you know, that it was a 96%. We can't forget about the 4%ers out there that are holding it down and, you know, holding the ground and telling them that they're not getting vaccinated. So,
but that number is not including the people who had to leave their jobs, right? And what I find particularly irritating about this, Shane, when I listen to Inslee talk about this, is that there are human costs to COVID that we have just kind of glanced over. And we've just kind of like flied right over it, right? The fact that more people in the last 2 years between the ages of, what is it, 18 and 29 have died from opiate overdoses than from COVID-19 itself. Like, I would at least want Inslee to recognize that those are facts and figures and those are accurate and those are truthful. And there are ramifications to declaring yourself the kindergarten cop of the entire state of Washington. See what I'm saying, Shane? There are peripheral ramifications to this stuff. And I guess that's why I'm of two minds about it, Shane, is that in one way I agree with the man, and in other ways I say, hey, guy, like, this is just like, it's a bit obnoxious to do a victory lap in front of the feds when there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the United States who have suffered unnecessarily because of capricious actions of government. So speaking of, by the way, suffering, Billy Sunshine's going to be on in a couple of few. And what are we talking about today with Billy, Shane? Do you have any idea other than bacon and cupcakes and the fact that Billy hates Republicans?
Yeah, I could only imagine what Billy's bringing us today. It could be a plethora of things.
I got it. We're talking about the state launching the website for the free at-home COVID-19 tests, and then I'm going to talk to Billy about that mom in Virginia who threatened people with guns over what? Find out when we get back.